There is no better weekend of football than the divisional round. We got the very best teams in football playing, some great defenses, but more importantly, some great offenses. I've got all your game previews here, as well as the stats, the facts for you need to know, whether you're placing bets, playing DFS this weekend, or you just want to look like the smartest person at the bar. All your questions you have about these matchups will be answered, and if they aren't, drop them in the chat below and I'll answer 100% of your questions before the games kick off. Let's get into it. We are starting with the Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens. It's 43.5 over under in this one, and it's the offensive rookie of the year probably against the probable two-time MVP, Lamar Jackson. And this one, the pressure is really on the Ravens. Jackson's trying to wash away the stink of a 1-4 playoff record. The last time he played in the playoffs was 2021. The last 2 years, Ravens have been kind of close to the playoffs or even in the playoffs, but Jackson's been injured, and you can really tell that he wants to go out there and correct this kind of like stink that's hanging over him. The last time he did play in the playoffs was 2021, when he stomped the Titans in the first round and then fell victim to horrendous weather in Buffalo in the second round, ultimately missed a big chunk of the game with a concussion after throwing a pick six. It is not how he wants his playoff record to be remembered. He finished this season on fire, though, with two games over 35 points in the final four games. He's averaged 51 rushing yards per game this year. The teams met back in week one, and back then that was Jackson's definitely his least fantasy viable game of the season. He only had 8.9 points that day, and it was pretty clear that the adjustment to the Todd Monken offense was going to take a little bit of time. Now, though, we're clearly seeing that is something he feels completely comfortable with. He's throwing the ball as well as he ever has. He's throwing outside the numbers far better than he ever has. And he seems to trust the wide receivers in a way that he just didn't a few years ago when he was throwing to the likes of Miles Boykin and Willie Snead when Marquise Brown was covered or Mark Andrews wasn't available. The Texans, they will have the 9th most fantasy points to quarterbacks this year. They rank 20th in road defense DVOA. Their big weakness, it's the left-hand side of the field. Wherever Derek Stingley is, which is normally on the right-hand side of the field, is fine. That's a strength. But the opposite side of the field has been a weakness for them constantly. It's where the Browns tore up pieces with Amari Cooper in week 16. Lamar Jackson ranks 2nd best among all quarterbacks when he's attacking the left-hand side of the field. So that really feels like an area where the Ravens should be targeting it and hopefully having success for me as a Baltimore Ravens fan. Now, obviously, the big news for the Ravens is that Mark Andrews is probably back. Andrews has been particularly good against too high safety looks this year, which is something the Texans use a lot of. Isaiah Likely, he's been excellent without Mark Andrews, so it's going to come down to how does Todd Monken manage to combine the two of them and get the best out of them. Likely's had 21 catches for 322 yards, 5 touchdowns in the last 6 games. But where Likely sometimes wins, it's not always the same area as Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews is like elite in the middle of the field. Isaiah Likely has been winning closer to the boundary at times. You know, it's longer routes, which he gets closer to the edge, and that's where his catches have been. So I don't think that the two can't combine to play well. And the Texans, they've allowed the 4th most fantasy points to the tight end position this year, along with the most receptions of any team to tight ends, the 5th most receiving yards, and the 9th highest catch rate to the position. This just feels like a game which sets up so well for what Lamar wants to do, which is hit those tight ends quite often. The wide receiver rotation for the Ravens, they've used Odell Beckham pretty sparingly, but when he is on the field, they really do target him. From week 10 onwards, he ranked 10th among wide receivers in yards per route run with a, you know, if you filter for a minimum of 50 routes run. His route participation vote was only 52%, and it just felt like the Ravens were holding him back, ready to unleash him when he got to the playoffs. Now's the time. If you're not going to unleash him, then what have you paid him $15 million for? It would be good to see how they really see this being playing out. Zay Flowers, he scored 4 touchdowns in his last 6 games, 3 games over 60 yards in that spell too. I do think with Mark Andrews healthier, if Mark Andrews is playing a regular amount of snaps, then Zay Flowers is going to find it harder to see sustained volume. You can't deny the fact that Zay Flowers' biggest games this year have come when Mark Andrews has been injured. So I would say out of the wide receivers, it's a little trickier for me to get there on Zay Flowers this week, but Zay Flowers has also come on plenty over the course of the season. So I just feel stronger about the tight ends than I do the wide receivers. Rashad Bateman failed to break double digits at any point this season. He's played better in recent weeks, had a season high 6 targets against Miami. It's just, it's dart throw territory. If you're playing the showdown slates, it's fine to take that shot, as is Nelson Agholor, who had 4 touchdowns this year. That's the second most among all wide receivers. The Texans, they ranked 23rd against the pass in DVOA, 28th against wide receiver ones, and 31st against wide receiver threes. Already talked about left side of field is a real issue for them. So it just feels like this is setting up to be a very good passing game for the Ravens. Partly because the Texans, they have the second best run defense according to DVOA. They allow a league low 3.3 yards per carry. What they do really well is limit opponents to smaller runs. They gave up only the 18th most fantasy points to the running back position. But what they did do is allow quite a few rushing touchdowns. They allowed the 11th most rushing touchdowns. So on smaller slates like this, if you're playing the 4-game slate or if you're playing showdown, touchdowns become really valuable, even on DraftKings, where we're after, you know, it's PPR format, which kind of boosts Gus Edwards' value. I think, yes, we are going to see some Dalvin Cook this weekend. It's going to muddy things up slightly, but the reality is that Todd Monken's been using quite a healthy rotation for decent spells this year, depending on how the game script's going and depending on what the defense is giving. So I don't think I'd really want to play any of the running backs. Let's move across to the Texans. CJ Stroud, he scored 20 points in back-to-back games, but it's worth kind of noting that over the last couple of months, since week 14, he had complete stinkers against both the Titans and the Jets. Yes, he's been playing banged up at times, and what he's been doing when he has been healthy has looked fantastic. You know, last week against the Browns in particular was incredible. But we knew that was coming to an extent because CJ Stroud has been truly elite against cover one looks. And the Browns, they don't have an advanced defense. They just they have their one look and they play it incredibly well. And that's cover one. And that was something which CJ Stroud coming into the game talked about in the Discord and in the DFS write-up. That's something he could capitalize on. The Ravens, though, they play more in cover six, cover four. And they will have the second fewest fantasy points to the quarterback position. Against the pass, they are the league's best team in defense, DVOA. So unless the Texans really manage to pull another surprise, it's kind of hard to imagine him having just as fruitful day as he did last week. At running back, Devin Singletary completely taken over all the touches in this game, in this side. He's had 88 rush attempts in the last 5 games compared to Damian Pierce's 15. The Ravens, they have struggled against running backs in recent weeks. They allowed Kyren Williams, Devon Achane, Christian McCaffrey all to put up 70 or more rushing yards in the first half of games. They've allowed the 7th fewest fantasy points to the position, though. And part of that is it's very much a bend, don't break defensive philosophy. They've allowed only 5 running back rushing touchdowns all year. So they might give up yards on the ground, but their philosophy is very much, we are going to stop you before we get to the red zone, where they have one of the league's best defenses. You can see on screen there, second best red zone defense. A wide receiver, I mean, you've got to just go as far as Nico Collins, 22 catches for 371 yards, 2 touchdowns in his last 3 games. Even against this Ravens defense, which has been excellent against the pass, Collins is firmly in play. The way they use him, the way they design plays and get him into space, I think he'll be fine. Marlon Humphrey, Ravens cornerback, is looking like he's very much going to miss this game, which will probably mean Brandon Stevens and Ronald Darby see a lot of him. You would imagine that Kyle Hamilton is perhaps tasked with shadow him a little bit. But yeah, I don't have too many concerns about Nico Collins. Outside of Collins, though, it's pretty grim for the Texans. They placed Noah Brown on injured reserve, and they're down to John Mechie, who set a career high in receiving yards with 44 against the Browns. He still only had 3 targets. Robert Woods, he's been held to 30 yards or less in all but one game since week 13. I would expect that the tight ends are a decent part of this game, because the Ravens will have a second lowest catch rate, 2 wide receivers, the 12th fewest fantasy points. So if Bobby Slowik's going to get into his bag, then he's going to want to draw up plenty of work for Dalton Schultz, who is coming off a disappointing game. He saw a season low, 2 targets, kind of made up for it by scoring a touchdown. And part of the problem is that Brevin Jordan is now playing so much more since he kind of re-emerged a little bit recently. Brevin Jordan played 50% of snaps last week and, of course, broke that long touchdown as well. The Ravens, they've only allowed 3 tight end touchdowns all year. This defense, it just doesn't give up a lot. I know the theory would be nice if we could get a nice passing game touchdown, like shootout in this one, but it just feels like the Ravens are probably going to be able to keep the Texans at bay a little bit, probably going to be able to pass however they want against them. And ultimately, it's kind of hard for me, admittedly being biased, to see anything other than a Ravens win here. We are going to get to the second game in a second, but I need you, if you're here watching this, enjoying this, ready to try and make some money this weekend. We are closing in on 1,600 subscribers. I know that so many of you come back to this channel after watching videos. You come back, but I also know 80% of people watching this channel are not subscribed. Do me a huge favor. Help us help you and hit that subscribe button. We've got so much good content coming your way soon. Green Bay at San Francisco. The Niners favored by 10 points. This one, the only game of the week, over 50 points on the over-under. And what the Packers did last week was incredible, and I do not want to write them off whatsoever. But the Niners are coming into this game fresh, having had the bye week. The Niners are a better team than the Cowboys. And what the Packers did well last week was they dominated the Cowboys with 12 personnel looks, playing 2 tight ends. But that formula, it's probably not repeatable here because the Niners allow the third fewest yards per attempt to those looks, second fewest yards per carry. They've been strong against that. So the Packers are going to have to come up with other ways to beat them. Jordan Love, though, he was excellent last week. You know, 16 of 21 passes, 272 yards, 3 touchdowns. Really spread the ball around really well. And it just kind of capped off what's been a really nice streak for Jordan Love. He scored 22 or more points in all 4 of his last 4 games. And I think if he can capitalize on what the Niners are weak at, then he can be plenty viable again this weekend. Where the Niners are vulnerable is on the perimeter. The Niners allow the 7th most fantasy points to outside wide receivers. And Jordan Love is above 100 QB rating when targeting both perimeters, right or left. So it does feel viable for him. Last week, Romeo Dubs set season highs in receiving yards with 151. And the Cowboys, they just didn't seem to have any answers for him. He caught all 6 of his targets as well as the touchdown. Dubs, he was a bit of a forgotten man in Green Bay. He'd only had 1 game over 15 points since week 11, and then he just goes out there and scores 30.1. With the Packers' wide receiver room now, it feels really difficult to figure out which wide receiver it's going to be each week. Jaden Reed was kind of like the hot property going into this game, but then he goose-egged against the Cowboys. I think part of that is he's probably banged up. He didn't catch any of his 3 targets. He only played 46% of the snaps. I think part of that was to do with the fact that they were so dominant in 12 personnel, and that those looks favored Romeo Dubs and Dontavian Wicks slightly more. But in this game, maybe a week healthier, perhaps Jaden Reed is what you're after, particularly if we're going to be looking at a different sort of personnel look. Dontavian Wicks was a fine play last week, you know, and 4 touchdowns his last 4 games, but he only really gets there when he scores touchdowns because he's been held below 30 yards in 2 of the last 4 as well. So I don't mind taking shots at these players. I think if you're looking at this game and saying, is it going to go over the 50.5 over-under, then it's going to need to be players like Jaden Reed getting involved. Christian Watson, he's the real wild card of this because he only played 41% of snaps last week, had a single catch on 1 target for 9 yards. But they didn't really need him. You know, the Packers got up so quickly and destroyed the Cowboys so fast, they could afford to be gentle with Watson's usage. That was the first time that he'd played since week 13. He did have back-to-back games back then with 20-plus points. And we know the kind of areas which Christian Watson can win might suit a game like this where you need to be taking those deep shots, you need to be firing towards the sideline. So I don't mind taking shots on Christian Watson. I don't mind taking shots on all the Packers wide receivers. And it feels like that's where this slate might get, you know, that's where you're going to be able to gain leverage because their ownership is going to cancel each other out a little bit. The other player who's really interesting for the Packers, though, is Aaron Jones. Since he kind of got healthy in week 16, he's averaged 23 touches a game, 134 total yards per game. He's ranked 6th in yards after contact, 8th in explosive run rate. And the Niners' run defense is a bit of a weakness for him. They're very much, you know, the pass defense is excellent. They rank really highly there. They rank 4th highest overall. But when it comes to the run game, they rank 15th in DVOA. Part of that is because, you know, they don't need to be good at defending the run when they can be just so dominant and put games into pass-heavy scripts. They've allowed the 8th fewest fantasy points to the position because not many teams are in a position to run on them. So it'll be interesting to see how the Packers come out. I don't mind taking shots on Aaron Jones here. These small slates, it can be very tricky to work out which running backs are going to be the ones you need. And Aaron Jones' ceiling is probably higher than a good chunk, definitely higher than the Ravens running backs, higher than Devin Singletary. I think you could look at James Cook and say Aaron Jones is probably going to outscore James Cook on a decent number of slates. Same for Pacheco. So yeah, completely fine with him. Tight end, Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, they're just canceling each other out. You know, Kraft, he's only had 3 targets in the last 2 games, in each of the last 2 games. Before that, while Luke Musgrave was on IR, he was seeing like 6 targets per game. So it's really tricky to know which one will be useful. I think, you know, if you're playing showdown, you can easily use that kind of leverage and take shots on one of them. I think if I had to take a shot on one, I would take a shot on Luke Musgrave. The team really seemed to design up a lot of plays for him and a lot of high-value downfield targets for him. Moving across to the Niners, Brock Purdy, he kind of finished the season a bit quietly, 2 games combining for 23 points. But that didn't really feel like the Brock Purdy we're going to get in the playoffs. You know, you go back before those 2 games where he combined for 23 points, and he'd scored more than that in 6 of the previous 7 games. The Packers' defense, they've been playing well, but they do rank 26th in DVOA. I just feel like they can't keep getting away with it. And sooner or later, they are going to get lit up by somebody. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan coming off a bye. CMC hasn't played since week 17 when he injured his calf. But it sounds like after 2 rests, he's going to be completely fine. And it's a great matchup for him. The Packers will have the 12th most fantasy points, 2 running backs. They rank 26th in DVOA against the run, 27th against running backs in the receiving game. And what McCaffrey brings to the table with like 91 rushing yards per game and 5.2 targets per game, it's really difficult to build a lineup and tell yourself, I'm going to fade Christian McCaffrey, because out of all the running backs on this slate, he's the only one who you could feel confident saying he could have a 30-point game and he could have a 40-point game. The Niners wide receiver room, it's narrow and it's just kind of easy, you know, that you might get a Debo week, you might get a Brandon Ayuk week. And on these short slates, those kind of decisions and having confidence in players is where you separate from the field. I think if you are looking to fade Christian McCaffrey completely, you could play into the idea that perhaps he's a bit injured, a bit banged up. Maybe the Niners get out to a lead and don't want to push it too far with him. And in that case, I would be looking for double stacks with Purdy, looking at either Debo and Ayuk, or adding Kittle to that. Debo, he scored 6 touchdowns between weeks 13 to 17, and he just edges out Ayuk in that period with a 25% target share to Ayuk's 24%. The Packers, they rank 26th in DVOA against wide receiver ones. So you've kind of really got to take a... It's a bit ambiguous. You have to decide who the wide receiver one in that situation is. They are much better against the perimeter wide receivers. So the Packers, they have allowed the 7th fewest wide receiver fantasy points to wide receivers out wide. They give the 11th most to wide receivers in the slot. Neither Samuel or Ayuk play from the slot massively. Debo plays there 32% of the time. Ayuk 23%. both players, we've had six games this year with over 20 points. They're capable of really going nuclear here. I lean slightly towards Debo because he sees more red zone looks. You know, he said 12 this year compared to Ayuk's 7. And I also think he's just the first read option so much more often. And if Kyle Shanahan's been in his bag designing plays over bye week, Debo is the player who those plays get drawn up for more often. Just covering the other wide receivers quickly, Juwan Jennings, 2 double-digit games all year. If you're playing showdown, that's possibly in play if you really expect the Packers to give up a lot of wide receiver fantasy points. And then Ronnie Bell saw 5 targets from Sam Darnold in week 18 against Rams backups, but he only caught one of them for 5 yards. Even on showdown, I'm not sure I can get there. What I really want to lean towards is Brock Purdy with Debo Samuel and then George Kittle, who is always a volatile asset. You know, he's had 5 20-plus point games this year and then 6 at or below 6 points. He's had over 50 receiving yards in 6 of the last 7 games, the meaningful games, to throw out week 18. And now he faces a defense that allows the second highest yards per reception to tight ends. That just spells big George Kittle week. So for me, I don't mind taking shots on Jordan Love. I think you could double stack him with Jaden Reed and possibly Christian Watson or Romeo Dubs, or you go Jordan Love, Aaron Jones, Jaden Reed, or Brock Purdy with Debo, George Kittle. If you're looking to fade Christian McCaffrey, if you can't make a lineup make work with him in there, or otherwise, yeah, you just play this through CMC, maybe a Packers player or two, and then get into the other games. Tampa Bay at Detroit, 48.5 over-under. This is a game which sets up perfectly for the pass game. Both teams are really good against the running back position. Detroit allow the fewest running back fantasy points. Tampa Bay allow the third fewest. But when it comes to the rest of the defense, Detroit allow the 6th most fantasy points to the quarterback position. Tampa Bay the 8th. Detroit allow the 4th most wide receiver fantasy points. Tampa Bay the 8th most. Detroit allow the 8th most tight end fantasy points. Tampa Bay the 2nd most. So this one feels like it's got so much fantasy goodness in it that there's going to be ways to stack things up really easily. Baker Mayfield, he's had 280 plus passing yards in 4 of the last 5 games, 11 touchdowns in that spell. And it felt against the Eagles like he left some on the table. You know, there were a few drop passes. There were a few situations which could have broken better, and he could have had an absolute monster game. I'd prefer playing Baker over Jared Goff. He's had less than 15 points in 3 of the last 4 games. He's only passed for multiple touchdowns in 1 of those games. The Lions, you know, they're content to run the ball in when they get near the red zone. They're content with Goff being an efficient quarterback. He doesn't need to go out there and put up 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in every game. So, yeah, I'd much rather attack this from the Bucks side at the quarterback position. At the running back position, Jahmyr Gibbs and Rashad White feel slightly better values because of their passing game roles. I'd lean towards Rashad White because the Lions allow the 2nd most yards per reception of running backs. But I don't really want to get into either of them. I feel like it's probably a better slate to go, if you can get to Christian McCaffrey, do that, and then punt the running back position slightly at the 2nd one and try to get into these wide receivers, save your salary for them. Mike Evans, he's had 7.3 points per game over the last 3, but this is a really good bounce back spot. I would not be surprised to see him get back in the end zone, go for one of those kind of 100-yard games that we see him go for. Chris Godwin, he's had 2 touchdowns in the last 3 games. And Detroit allowed the 3rd most fantasy points to slot receivers, an area where we know he plays in and out of. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him have 7 or 8 catches in this game. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's had 21 points or more in each of his last 5 games. When you compare that with Jared Goff, who's rarely getting over 15, Amon-Ra is just doing all the work because he's so efficient. He gets the catches. He gets the 100-yard bonuses. He's had good games against Vikings defense twice, and they were a good defense. Dallas, Denver, and the Rams in that spell. He has just been cooking. Outside of those guys, you know, you don't need me to tell you those guys are good plays. Trey Palmer, if he tweets I'm pissed off, then you've got to play him. These are the rules he's established. Tweeted it last week, goes for a touchdown. Historically, he's tweeted it a bunch of times, gone for touchdowns. He did, however, only have two targets, and the touchdown occurred on a very broken play thanks to the Eagles just being terrible. David Moore, he had three targets. Again, he made a couple of nice gains. I'd be fine playing. David Moore's probably my slight lean, you know, the veteran. He got targeted downfield a bit more. They're both similar in price, so I don't think you can really go wrong, but one of those feels like a very easy play on your book stack. On the Lions side, Josh Reynolds is a back-to-back games with seven targets. He's been plenty productive. You know, Jared Goff's connection with him, dating back to their times in LA, it just seems to work. Meanwhile, Jameson Williams, I know the ceiling's there, and I hate to be a hater, but he's had one 10-point game since week 11. This is just a guy who has failed to put up fantasy numbers at any point throughout his career, and it's 2 years in now. At tight end, Sam Laporta, you'd imagine he's going to be healthier this week, coming off last week where he only saw three targets for 14 yards. He did play 80% of the snaps. It felt like perhaps he was being used as a decoy a bit at times. He got the touchdown in the red zone, but it didn't feel like they were really wanting to rely on him a lot on the open field where he was being asked to do a lot more. Tampa Bay, they've allowed seven tight end touchdowns this year, so it's definitely a position where teams can get at them. On the other side, I mean, K-Dotton, I'd given up on K-Dotton. Like, this was his second game over 11 points all year, and he goes 8 for 89 on 11 targets. Like, K-Dotton has failed to break double-digit points when scoring touchdowns on a couple of occasions this year. I just did not see that kind of ceiling outcome in his range of outcomes. And the Lions, we do struggle against the position. So, yeah, I think you can attack this game. Primarily, I would go from the Bucs side with Baker Mayfield, Godwin, one of the punt wide receivers, and then Amon-Ra and Sam Laporta. I think that stack, you are going to be able to make it work. I think you could also go with Mike Evans in there ahead of Godwin. And if I'm doing that, then I really want to push the Lions pass catchers. So if I'm saying, okay, Mike Evans is going to get there, we know Mike Evans gets there from the deep downfield targets, so the change in the game happens quickly. So then you're going to want more Lions pass catchers because they're chasing the game or chasing an outcome, or perhaps they've already got there. One last game to go before we get there. I've already told you, all I need you to do is just hit that subscribe button. We've got mock drafts coming for rookies. We've got loads of dynasty content, loads more previews all the way through to the Super Bowl. Hit the subscribe button. Let us help you win. Kansas City at Buffalo. In case you hadn't heard, this is Patrick Mahomes' first ever road game in the playoffs. And I think a lot's being made out of that, about how much of the Chiefs going to be able to play without that incredible crowd that they have at Arrowhead. Well, this year, the Chiefs ranked sixth best in offensive road DVOA, so I don't think that we need to worry too much about them. I don't think it's going to change too much about their offense at all. These are two similar defenses for fantasy purposes. Both rank top seven in fewest fantasy points allowed to the quarterback position. Both are top seven in fewest fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. Both are top eight in fewest fantasy points allowed to tight ends. When it comes to running back, they're both pretty middle of the pack. Like, neither of them have glaring weaknesses in terms of fantasy points allowed. The Chiefs, they do rank 26th in run defense DVOA, particularly over the last month. It's been a vulnerability. So it'd be interesting to see whether Josh Allen is going to get there and rush a lot, whether James Cook is going to be a bigger part of the role. We talked last week before the wild card round about how both these quarterbacks rush more when it comes down to the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes, he's been over 30 yards in over 50% of his career playoff games. Josh Allen, he averages 50 rushing yards in the playoffs. So I would expect both of them to have a good floor this weekend. Patrick Mahomes has only had one 20-point game since week 12, so it's a little harder to trust him. Whereas Josh Allen, he's had only two games under 20 points since week 7. The Chiefs, excellent against wide receiver ones, ranked fifth best in DVOA. We've seen Lejarius Sneed is more than comfortable just being the shadow corner at times and just following wide receivers, keeping wide receivers in check. Last week, he managed to keep Tyreek Hill very much in check, to the point that Tyreek Hill tweeted afterwards about how he'd, you know, sent his ass to Cancun. Diggs has had back-to-back games with 7 catches. He hadn't had 7 catches since week 8 in a game. He's only scored over 15 points once in the last 9 games. I just don't think I can trust him here. I don't feel good about the matchup for him. I think I would rather target, play this one through Josh Allen and some of the other players like Khalil Shakir. He played on 29 of 34 dropbacks, trailed only Stephon Diggs. He's caught his last 16 targets consecutively, had back-to-back games with 12 points and 19 points. He's just been very reliable, really stepped up. If Gabe Davis can play, I mean, you know what you're doing when you put Gabe Davis into your lineup. You're shooting for the moon. He's had 5 games with 0 points since week 9, but he's also had 2 games over 23 points. The Chiefs are more vulnerable against wide receiver twos, wide receiver threes. They rank 25th in DVOA against those wide receiver twos. I would lean towards Shakir, though. I think that what we've seen from him, he really seems to be clicking with Josh Allen at the minute. And Diggs and Davis, it just isn't there. On the Chiefs side of things at wide receiver, Rashi Rice, it's all about him. You know, 49 targets in the last 5 games. He scored over 19 points in 4 of those 5 games. He's also back-to-back games over 100 yards. Like, this is a wide receiver who's putting together a really special rookie season. He's excelled down the stretch, really now isn't coming off the field often at all. And I think you can definitely lean into that one. Justin Watson ran the second most routes behind Rice, but he's only had 2 targets. He has 8 catches in the last 5 games. Only 1 game over 6 points. It's just nothing burger. MVS, he's not had more than 2 catches since week 7. He's not had over 30 yards in a game since week 7. I mean, just incredibly down bad. Travis Kelce, he had his first 7 catch game since week 11. That was the last time he had a touchdown too. He is only 6K on DraftKings this week, so it's kind of hard to dislike the price. But the Bills have allowed only 3 tight end touchdowns all year. So I think I would prefer to play this one more as Rice as the sole bring back on Josh Allen stacks. Even with Dalton Kincaid, he got into the end zone last week, but he didn't see a real role change. You know, Dawson Knox is out there, and Kincaid only played 65% of the routes. He played 22 snaps from the slot, wide or 22 snaps from the slot or out wide, and then 15 in line. So there's still a lot of meat left on the bone, but it seems like the Bills just aren't ready to trust him for it. The player who's kind of very interesting, mentioned it before, James Cook, scored over 13 points in none of the last 4 games. But the Chiefs' run defense is a bottom 6 unit in run DVOA. Cook has been running well. You know, he had 18 for 79 last week, which is 4.4 yards per carry. Just didn't get the touchdowns, which is always a risk for him. And then Pacheco likely gets another big workload because Jerick McKinnon is still on injured reserve. CH is a nobody. Pacheco, the Bills allow 4.4 yards per carry. Pacheco's seen 42 rush attempts in the last 2 games, scored 5 touchdowns in the last 5 games. If I'm looking to stack this one, I'm going with Josh Allen, I'm going with Shakir, and I'm going with Rashi Rice. And then I'm looking to get into some of the other exciting pieces from other games. If you're looking at Showdown, I don't mind taking shots on either defense. I think both defenses could get takeaways here. I would probably avoid the kickers because it could be a bit windy up there in Buffalo. But in general, it feels like a bit of a trap game for fantasy production. This one feels like if there was a game I was going to bet the under on this weekend, then it very much could be this one. Those are your divisional round previews. If you have any questions, leave them in the chat. I will always answer 100% of your chat questions before the games kick off. If you want to hit the join button, then you get access to way more content over at Fantasy Sanctuary. We've got you covered all year round. We are going to make some winners before this Super Bowl happens. Any questions, let me know, and we will be back very soon.